Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Scott Charlesworth.
Hello, you dirty dingo.
Scott, how you bloody feeling after the movie? Someone's got a bit of energy.
I'm up and down. I'm feeling a little bit like a flat line. I'm feeling like a perfectly balanced seesaw.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, are you getting my metaphors and simile? No, more my similes.
I'm more of a spiderweb kind of guy when it comes to the park.
Yeah.
I love a good spiderweb.
I do like a good spiderweb.
You remember that time when we went on that spiderweb with
the boys?
With Quirtle. What's his Kurt McDoodle?
Burtis.
Burtis and Dangle.
Yeah, and we climbed to the top of the spider.
Spider web. We're all on that top little platform and we're all jumping and the
like
platform started moving down. And we
mind
thought
this is
fall.
Like about the height of a house and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Scott was on Ket and he was gone.
The other day we went to a comedy show and Ben just out of the blue shouts to this skateboarder guy. He's like, "We're on Ket." And then he's like, "Oh, you're on the K." And I'm just like, "Bro, what did you say that for?" He's like, "I don't know. Looks crazy." He just skateboards off. He's like, "Yeah, have a fun night, boys."
Yeah.
And we're just like, "Oh, like Ben, what?"
Yeah, you were worried.
Can't just talk to strangers like that.
You were worried I was getting like he was gonna ask me for some ket or something.
Yeah, I was like, "Bro, what are you doing?"
And then he skateboarded off, and then
suddenly appeared. He's like, "That's what Kent does to you, boys." Yeah. And just appears from the side of us like a ghost.
We walked past an alleyway, and then he came out of nowhere, and we're like, Whoa, bro, where did you come from? And he's like, "That's what Kent does to you, boys." And then he rode off like a badass. Oh, actually, before we get into it as well,
I have a little thing.
Speaking of badass, all right?
Yeah.
So, beep this name with our specific beep.
Okay.
But you know, from down the road.
Yes, I do know.
Two beeps. Cheeky.
That's going to be a little bit challenging.
So I drove into work and he's there with his mates on his bikes. Like,
yeah.
He just rode all the way to my work. I was like,
what?
Bro, what are you doing?
This lives so far from your work.
Yeah, I know. Weird. They like just ride around all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he saw me as I was driving in and then I saw them start riding their bikes towards me as I parked.
Yeah.
I get out and then Thingo says, "Oh, I didn't know you. I don't know what you're doing here. What are you doing here?"
Like a...
Wait, I said that wrong. "I don't know what you're doing here."
Yeah,
you
really brought that across well, didn't you?
Yeah, shit. He said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Oi, I work here." He's like, "What? And whose car is this?" And I said, "It's my car."
Oh, what a
flex. See ya. And then I walked away. I didn't say another word.
What a flex.
It was such a Chad moment.
Wow, you must feel like you've just grown taller and beefed out.
Yeah.
Your chin looks wider.
My testicles are flapping against my ankles now.
They just got
so big.
Yeah.
I'm like a big, big boy.
You are a big boy. Damn, that was a lot of story and so much energy.
So much fun and frivolity.
Well, we did watch Hush this week.
2016.
In 2016. It's been a movie that's been on Netflix for a little while. I do remember the first time I saw snippets from this movie. I was... Oh, it's Tessie Pop again. I was sitting behind people on an excursion on the way home, and they were watching it on their laptop. I think it was an excursion from Canberra. Like, well, because we went to Canberra and came back.
Yeah.
And on the way home, I remember seeing these two people watching this on their laptop, and I'm like, "Ah, it's a dude, scary dude with a mask." And I'm like, "You know what? I'll watch that movie one day."
Hey, and here
today
you are.
We did.
That's beautiful. I guess
bit of a full circle there.
Getting
right?
on the Canberra topic, because Canberra is the capital of Australia. It's also where all the politics happen.
Yeah.
I guess this movie's kind of like a metaphor.
It's also the central hub of culture in Australia, where all the most interesting things happen.
Right.
Yeah.
No, sorry, what?
What?
I guess you could say this is kind of like a metaphor, because the lady, she's kind of like the common public, like us.
Yeah.
And the killer, he is the bloody taxpayers, mate, trying to get our tax dollars.
Those bloody taxpayers.
Mate, what a bloody zinger.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, you saw that one coming, mate, from a mile away.
Well, her name is actually Maddie.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't pick that detail up when you were watching the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit me with a point, mate.
All right. Well, I just want to start it off with a positive, because I am kind of like a wave of up and downs today. I love the cooking montage at the start.
Oh, yeah.
It made me want to eat. It just made me want to go eat some food. It was really well done sound design when she was chopping and cooking and, you know, swiveling the rice around in the pan or the pot or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there was rice.
There was a bit of rice in that mixture of things.
Asparagus, yeah, it looked really good.
I do like some asparagus.
A shame that it burnt.
Yeah, it's a shame that she burnt it and fucked it up because that looks like a good dinner.
Yeah. Oh, it would have been better if it was like Home Alone style. Oh, wait, no, I was going to say Home Alone style where he makes the mac and cheese and he eats it, but he never does eat the mac and cheese.
No, he just sits there and then the bell goes off.
Yeah. So that pisses me off.
Oh, man. Things like that. When at least the food was destroyed and it wasn't just left to waste. Oh, no, but she did waste all the sauce when she poured it in the bin.
Yeah, but that, to be fair, it did
get all... What are you going to put it on? You're just going to have like a bunch of sauce just sitting there.
And it got all lumpy as well. And that was the element that wasn't going too well. There was also a subtle detail. I don't know if you noticed this, but you probably did because we watched the same movie.
Yeah.
At the start... One of the first things you see, obviously, zooms into a part like the wide shot.
Yeah.
And then you see her opening up the wine with the corkscrew.
Oh, that was very satisfying.
The weapon that she later uses to kill the killer.
Oh, dude, nice pick.
I know.
Ah, and it is kind of like it's a pick stabbing motion thing, the cork opener as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so,
but
hey, don't try and steal my moment.
No. That is a very nice detail that you've picked up
on
there.
Yeah. I think that was the first utensil that we saw because as we know, these kind of horror movies, utensils are key.
Okay.
They're throwing torches.
That's
and
one
knives
thing that I will Oh, sorry, I just interrupted. I just fully cut you up
there. Well, how about you bloody keep going? Because I appreciated that, and I think you got some gold here.
Thanks. Well, that's one thing that I did appreciate as well for this movie was the creativity of weapons. We did see a lot of things like the alarm that was used. We saw a rock in that sort of like thought bubble thing that she had when she was getting smashed in the face.
Oh, that
was pretty fucking brutal and took me by surprise. But
John had a rock.
Well, I think that would have been the same rock. There was a knife.
No, it was different. His rock was like square. The killer's rock was like square. John's rock was circle.
True. There was a knife. There was the spray. What was it? Bug spray or something?
Yeah, hornet spray.
Hornet spray. There was a few different little things. There were...
Crowbar.
The window as well.
The window.
Doors.
Yeah. There's get back to that window. That's where one of my problems bloody lies.
I like this. I like where this is going.
Teaser, mate. Stop it.
You're just on fucking fire, aren't you? All right, come on. Hit me with something. I want these nips
sizzling.
Okay,
well, speaking of problems, I wish we had more time with the mask.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a big point for me too.
Why pull it off like 2 seconds into the movie? The mask was like the best thing.
It looked so cool. It just like fit his face like really. I don't know. It made him look weird
and
it was so unique.
Yeah.
Too.
And all the promotional stuff has the mask.
Yeah.
It's like at the start when you see him just like looking, it's like, what the hell? He feels too human when he doesn't have the mask off.
You are, oh my God, we have some psychic energy going on here because that is exactly what I agree with. That it humanizes him and gets rid of the horror element. Rule one with horror movies, you don't reveal your enemy, your villain, too early in the movie. It just doesn't make them scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine to keep them in a mask because there's the mystery there, but just having him fully pull it off and going, look, I'm so badass, you've seen my face, I don't give a fuck about you telling people, but that could have been a thing that she did later when she was so desperate or something. I don't know.
But it also makes sense why he doesn't have his mask on, and that's my pro to the con, because... The reason he took his mask off was for the story element so that she could read his lips.
Yeah.
Is that a pro? Not really. I probably shouldn't have said pro. But that is the reason why he does take off the mask.
I kind of see that as like a little bit of plot armor.
Yeah.
For her, personally. I think as soon as he figured out that she was deaf, like I know you're in the moment, you don't always think of the key details when you're high on adrenaline and... You're rushing and trying to do crazy things. But as a dude with a mask, I would have just kept it on and ignored her, like saying, oh, I won't tell anyone and stuff. I would have just
been
like...
Well, she couldn't even see. She didn't even know who he was anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. And also, oh, yeah, I personally think that he should have just definitely kept it on and revealed it at the end. And it would have been so much better if the reveal was someone that we knew that may have been established.
Mm, so that's where I disagree.
Are you sure? Okay.
But anyway, I'll get to that in a second. But I think maybe in the third quarter,
yeah,
take off the mask. Because the thing is, she's limited, as we know. She can't hear, she can't speak. So we, and then for the story, they want a communication scene. And I respect that because it was kind of menacing, the communication scene where she's in the thing and he's talking to her, saying all this shit.
That's true. So yeah, that is a point that does add a lot of energy to it, because then she can now understand like how he's feeling.
And how psychotic he is and all this shit.
Yeah.
So I think that's needed. I just think it got revealed too early.
Mm, yeah.
Give some of the crossbow shit, do all that with him on having a mask on, and then reveal him and then have him come in and do all that stuff. Yeah. I reckon you could have the exact same movie, just chop and change some
and
of the events
around. Move a few bits
around
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from there. That's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Well, all right, I want to get on to a point of acting. I think for most of the time, the movie, like the acting of the characters, they did pretty well with the script that they were given. It wasn't overly bad or overly good at any points. It was just kind of like basic script writing. But,
well, there wasn't any dialogue. I thought it was good.
I think it was all right, but there was one point in the movie where I cringed a lot, and that was when she was communicating with her friend. Maddie was communicating with a friend at the start. I thought that conversation between the two of them was a bit fake from her friend. Like, her attitude just was like, I don't know, it felt like a character off NCIS or something, the way she was acting and gave the lines.
The delivery
was off for me on that. Okay, it was a little bit.
Oh,
off.
You just don't understand how women talk.
No,
right?
No, mate. I'm all with the lingo. I got the lingo. I'm all over it.
I know women.
Of course,
I know women.
Oh, okay, there, Mister, Mister Dude.
That's how they talk. All right, here's you. All right, thinking you know what's happening. You're not the establishment, mate.
You're such a chad, aren't you, with your car and your job?
Yeah, I got a car and a job, and I talk to little boys and say, yeah, I got a car and a job. Yeah, I'm about to walk off. No, that was fucking stupid, that scene. And who goes onto a FaceTime call and sets up... It was like it was set up as a camera. Not her. Yeah. She held it normally, like, because it was like... just of her top half, whatever.
Yeah.
But her friend, it's like she had set up a tripod and she was sitting vlogging to her friend for the FaceTime call.
Nah,
you didn't even see it go up and...
Something for that I will point out is that she set it up so that she could show that she's signing. That's the reason she would have set up a phone like a tripod, so that Maddie could see all of her signing, basically. Do you get what I mean? So it's more clear and it's easier to see.
Yeah, but you could... It was just...
I know, you could have had it more casual. It was like a... Hey, guys, here's an intro to blah, 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 blah. Like some sort of cheesy
fucking TikTok
video. I
thought we were going to have Alan Walker Spectre start playing, and then she was going to give us like some like top 10 video or something?
Yeah.
Which would have been actually appreciated.
Yeah, I would have liked
that. That would have been a little bit sick. All right, on you go. Okay. On you go.
Well, one creative hiding spot that I really appreciated in the movie was when she was hiding under the deck, under the porch, when she first went outside.
Yeah.
And he's walking around, and then when she's feeling the vibrations of him walking, I appreciated that. Yeah. I thought that was a cool element.
That was good suspense, because...
Yeah.
I don't know, for some reason I was like, oh, he's going to punch his fist through the deck or something.
Yeah,
he's gonna reveal,
just like rip her out or something.
Yeah, he's going to reveal that he's like some sort of demon or something and just like shove his... I don't know, foot through the deck and cave her skull in or something.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. I was like, oh, damn.
But that was a good creative hiding spot that I think it needed more of throughout the whole movie. There was...
I thought she was pretty smart.
She was smart, but I would have liked to have seen a few more creative hiding spots inside her house. Like, of her...
Okay, so the movie showed us every single room...
Every
of
single
the house,
room, yeah.
What other spots would you do?
I would have liked to have seen inside a closet or something, or I don't
cliche.
Know, I know it's cliche, but like maybe like some sort of like moving around in the dark. Like she knows this house better than him, or like some sort of distraction to move him off in the. I would have liked a bit more dynamic in the house with the suspense part. I like it as the first bit, but I would have liked it if he got in the house earlier, kind of moved around and she went outside and he went outside and it was, I don't know, I would have liked more in that setting.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but then that could have also felt a bit too like...
he just got in, sort of thing.
What's the game where you're sitting down? Oh, Duck Duck Goose. It would have felt too much like Duck Duck Goose and just running around the circle the whole time.
Yeah, I understand. It's true.
Because I really liked it how she was stuck in the house and he was... So she's safe in a little bubble.
Yeah.
But then he's outside and he can come in at any time, but he chooses not to till the end. I thought that was really cool because I was like, shit, when's this homie going to come in and just
going to like break in
and start slam choking her on the ground.
Trying to smash through that bulletproof glass.
Oh yeah, that was pretty tough glass, eh?
Damn, I didn't expect her to have like full fucking military grade glass on her windows. It's like the new Tesla truck.
Yeah. Speaking of FaceTime calls as well.
Yeah.
They kind of had that Craig storyline and then threw that away, didn't they?
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
That's not even a point I have.
I even thought that he was going to be a killer or something.
Yeah.
I imagine if it was like talking to Craig and then suddenly Craig is like, yo, I just stabbed your friend outside.
Yeah, but Craig was black.
Yeah.
So, And
old mate wasn't black.
And he was white. Yeah. So that's how you instantly knew that it wasn't Craig.
This is true. Yeah.
I am a thinker sometimes.
Man, you are. You're a little investigator, I tell you.
I see the truth.
Well, yes, the setting of this movie, like focusing on the house, I don't think it got that. It wasn't samey, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to focus on something central and just keep it all in this region because it just... I don't know, it gave a unique feel to the movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, you had different moments. You had the roof, you had her bedroom, the bathroom, you had the kitchen scenes, you had when she was up at the little loft or whatever. Mm. Like, it really utilized it, a lot of it, and I thought the creativity was really good.
Yeah.
I also liked that a character like John didn't get introduced, like, halfway through. It was, like, basically near the end.
And John was actually kind of intelligent, too, by picking up that this guy was a bit sus.
Yeah.
He wasn't just like, oh, okay, I'll just go back home now and try and ring my wife again.
I feel like everyone was decently smart.
Except for the dumb friend at the start.
Wow.
Well, she was just dumb. I just couldn't tell.
Yeah.
She's just stupid.
Yeah, she's stupid.
Just dumb.
So, I wonder why he killed her to begin with, and I think he's just, like, a psychopath. Because on his crossbow... See, I think we...
Oh, so, like, he's been on the run, like, trying to, like, kill a few people and all that. He's... Yeah. This isn't his first rodeo.
So, I reckon, in this lore, his first kill was, like, he had a motive behind it.
Yeah.
But now, he's like... Man, I'm just going to kill bitches left, right, and center. Who gives a shit?
It's crazy.
Bitches, like the cat, when to kill the cat.
Yeah.
I'm linking this shit.
That's crazy,
the lore.
Man.
I'm expanding the lore.
Wow.
Him and the cat in the afterlife, they get married, have kids.
Okay.
That's the lore.
That's a furry moment. I don't know about that. But yeah, he's done this before. He's been on the run. He's going and doing some crazy shit.
I kind of like that it wasn't... a stereotypical, hey, it's the ex-boyfriend, or hey, it's bloody the neighbor for some random reason. It's just a guy.
I guess so.
And he stabs the chick. He would have never gone for this lady if the dumb neighbor didn't run across and was banging on the thing. Also, how brutal was that?
Oh yeah, stabbing? That was a good scene. Yeah, he was just like smack. Oh, that was a little bit how you go.
Right.
Yeah, there was just clapping, there was slapping, and there was butt cracking.
Yep.
You know, it was... Anyway,
let's get back to the movie.
Yeah, the knife was in, that's for sure. Okay, so seeing as this isn't his first rodeo, it makes me question the logic behind the bathtub scene when he breaks in.
That doesn't make sense.
That scene is fucking stupid. He could have easily killed her so easy at that moment. She's sitting there with a knife pointed at the door, half falling asleep,
right, her reaction time is not going to be very good. He breaks through.
But how did he break through?
Breaks through the window. Somehow that's not bulletproof. And this, brutal, whatever. It's like, it's not protective glass.
Well, he probably, wait, so how does that work though? How did he get into the bathtub?
Can I just say?
Oh,
sorry.
Bloody hell, mate.
Anyway,
it's getting a bit heated in here.
It's fiery. But anyways, he breaks through, sits in the bathtub, and breathes on her, and suddenly she's like, oh, I'm from the Matrix, switches around and stabs him with less reaction time than he has. He has a shorter distance to stab. Plus, logically, you wouldn't stab with a lunge if you're that close. You would just go straight for the neck, like that. Any logical person would do that. They wouldn't just go, oh, stab straight to the back of the spine.
Well, we all know that his technique is a lunge anyway, because he lunged and killed John that
same
way.
Yes, but that was at a distance, though. That's purposeful and quite precise on his neck. I think that if they were running with the same logic of his skill throughout the whole movie, he would have just gone bang and then kind of like taunted her as she's bleeding out with like the neck sort of thing. I don't know. The reaction time was off, and that seems as dumb for me.
How did he get in the bathtub? I don't get it.
He's just crouching there like a little gobble.
No, but how'd he fall from the roof? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there a window up there?
Did he climb up on the... I don't know. Did he climb up from the side when they were having that little scuffle on the roof?
Because there was no pre-established shot of a bath, of a window on top of the bath.
Yeah.
And also, he would have got through the front door if he kept smashing it.
That's true, yeah.
But it took a bit for the glass to fall down as well.
Yeah.
So you don't know how long you're smashing the top. So I was so confused. At first, I thought it was sparks, and I was like, the fuck is he like?
Yeah.
Is he like welding? I mean, not welding. Is he like cutting through this shit with like, you know, a fucking saw or something?
Mm, yeah.
Angle grinder.
Yeah, just fucking grind it through. Nah, she won't hear it. Don't worry, mate. We'll get you through here eventually.
Yeah. I don't. That scene didn't make sense, but I don't know. I just had a lot of fun. I didn't really care. Didn't really bother me.
Well, can I point out a couple more logic points that kind of irked me a little
bit?
Yeah,
come on. Scott's logic.
It's
hour.
Logic hour. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So with the door scene when he stomped in her hand, which was brutal, by the way. Love that bit.
Great effect. Was that practical? Surely that was practical.
Yeah, that looked pretty practical to me. I think that he could have actually easily gotten inside at that point if he just kept slamming that hand, and eventually she would have given and tied out, reefed the door over.
We could have reefed the door from the start.
From the start, obviously, but like, obviously she was holding it at the same time while her hand was getting smashed in, and he smashed it on her hand as well.
But you got to think as well, the whole time, man was having a fetish of drawing it out. He could have killed her from the start.
Yeah, but he should have gone inside at that moment. He had the ample opportunity to go inside. And, he had the opportunity to go inside at that point, easily.
Yeah, I know, but he also wants to take his time. I know that that point he was like, nah, I'm going inside.
Yeah.
But he's still getting a little... little hard on for every time it takes just a little bit longer and he hurts her just a little bit more.
That's true.
Because the first line he said to her was, I want you to feel like you're in hell and then I'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah, but that you're not still in hell until you get broken fingers. Still doesn't justify it for me. I feel like
if you can't hold chopsticks, then you're in hell.
Yeah, but I feel like he still could have gotten more of the upper hand if he went inside and there was the opportunity there.
I mean, to be fair, you could have
said... Logically speaking, I know it's for the plot, but...
Logically speaking, he was a good shot. He shot...
he was a pretty good shot, yeah.
Oh, hang on, mate. Buddy, hold your horses. Oh, okay. I'm not saying he was a good shot. I'm saying he was a good shot. I don't know where the joke was in that.
No.
When Sarah was at the front...
Yeah.
And she was banging on the thing.
But suddenly a shit shot when...
No, it was a good, it was a running good shot.
Running through the
floor. Let me talk, woman.
Oh, okay.
And she's smashing on the door.
Yeah.
And then he shoots her point blank in the back. And he's probably a decent amount away. But when homies...
point
Maddie's,
blank is close.
He wasn't point blank. I didn't say point blank.
Yeah, he did.
Roll it back, and what did I say?
Point Blank.
I didn't say Point Blank.
Anyways, yeah.
Anyway, no, she was banging on, and he's pretty far away, yeah. As I said previously. He shoots her in the back. Boom. He's far away. Good shot. But when Maddie's climbing the side, boom, shoots her in the leg. Bro, surely you could have shot her in the back. You're a better shot than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
I don't know. Also, another part on Logic Hour, I think that she could have easily stabbed his eye or something with one of the crossbow bolts when she was on top of the roof. She had that weapon there, even though she couldn't figure out how to shoot it. She could have still stabbed him when he just climbed up on the roof. His head's just there. Bang, get his eye, fucking falls down, pounce on him like a cougar. Let's go to town.
I don't think she's a cougar. Well, I think she's younger, and I reckon she's should be respected.
I apologize. You're a bit of a silly sausage.
I mean, yeah, she could have kicked his head in. She could have, like, done some shit.
But decides to run across the roof. I don't know. Maybe just different thoughts, but personally, yeah. Me, I would do that.
See,
I would kick the fuck out of him.
Usually in a movie, shit like this, I'd be totally on board with you right now. I'd be like, that was fucking stupid. And I can't argue a lot of the time. But it's also like, I don't know. I just had a fun time with this. I didn't really give a shit about that. I just had a fun time with this movie. I found it a fun movie. I liked it as well. I think the reason I didn't have as much of a problem with, you could have fucking killed him there. You could have escaped there. You could have done this. You could have done that.
Yeah.
Which is always usually a problem with these horror movies.
Yeah.
And as we bloody keep going on with more podcasts, mate, maybe you'll hear that I'd start thinking more like that as well.
Oh.
A little bit of a tease for the future. Stay tuned. Keep listening. Give us a review. 5 stars. Thank you. Fuck, I forgot what I was saying. I was too busy plugging the show.
But usually, for this instance, you didn't have a problem with it.
Because it was, you know, she had such an interesting thing.
Well, the thing is, she's non-verbal and deaf, and that is a very creative decision by the movie in the first place.
Yeah.
It does leave a bit of leeway for some generic stuff to push through, because that is such an interesting idea.
Yeah, I reckon I just didn't mind it as much, because I was like, wow, this is a cool concept. And they weren't, whilst there was points that they could have used to kill and do things, I didn't think that she was like a dumbass the whole time.
No, she was thinking some really smart things.
I also don't think that he was a dumbass the whole time.
He was a dumbass some of the time, though.
He was more dumb than she was.
Yeah.
But I just feel like...
That's another point that kind of irks me, because how was he able to kill this many people and kind of still make dumb decisions, you know? Like, he's, like, got strategies like...
I mean, we all have bad days. Come on, we can't write.
He could have made it... He could have made it a double trouble, you know? A double tap.
You cook a creme brulee 1,000 times. Not every 1,000, it's going to be the best creme brulee.
Damn, wise words by Curly Charlesworth. Right here on the podcast. Mate. This is more of a cooking podcast than it is a movie podcast at the moment.
Movie. Let's talk.
Yeah. Oh, no. You keep going.
Well, would you say this is a horror movie? I would.
I would say it is a horror movie, but it didn't scare me. Not all the time. Some moments, one moment in particular, which was really good, was when he was using her friend's dead corpse tapping on the window. Like, to try and taunt her.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
That was funny, but, like, it was also like, oh, holy fuck, that's fucked. That sort of stuff I would have liked to have seen more of, like, more of that shock. I think a lot of the jump scares, personally, for me, didn't really cut through to me and make me go, holy crap, I'm shitting myself right now. Like, some of them were good, but... Nah, they didn't catch me off guard all the time, and that's what I would have liked more, you know?
I know, but I also liked how... Yes, I'll agree.
It was more of a psychological horror. That's what I would put it as.
I liked that because there was this silence, and I reckon the sound was really good in this movie.
Like, yeah.
Everything was very recognizable. Holy shit, she's shaking some cat kibble.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that was actually very well done.
She's frying up a lamb, but she didn't fry it up. She put it in the oven. She's doing this. You can hear the alarm. You can, everything sounded very crisp and easy to understand.
That's true, yeah. Which audibly. Is what you want for this movie with little dialogue.
And I think those parts, well, yeah, because there's only less than 15 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah.
I think those little parts made you feel like, oh man, is someone just going to pop out and ruin this silence, or is someone going to come out? And I think the minimal scares really just like added a whole layer of tension the whole time. You're like,
yeah, you didn't know when the next scare was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. But when they did come, it wasn't like,
I don't think, I don't think it was executed to the point that it could have been. Like, yeah.
True, true, true.
Anyways, let me have a little.
I know I have another point, point, but see, I don't have much great things to say yet. I still just had such a good time.
That's fair enough. Yeah, you feel funny? A certain way.
But I do have like so many plot holes with it. Yeah. Here's one. The man got his fingers like just absolutely jammed, like smashed down.
Yeah. How was he still able to use a crossbow later?
Every injury was accounted for except for that one.
Actually, a lot of his injuries weren't accounted for when he had bleed damage as well. I'm talking like I'm playing Elden Ring right now. Bleed damage.
Limb grave.
Lernia. Anyways.
What do you mean?
Well, you know how he was fucking stabbed with that hammer? That went through some major arteries in his arm. That was right in the middle. You didn't see him bleeding out, but you saw her bleeding out.
He was still bleeding when he was talking to John.
He was still bleeding, but I didn't see any bleed fatigue from him. I don't know.
Yeah, he was full limping and he was struggling. At the end, that man was battered.
He was battered, but I feel like he would have been more from that point, because that is like
just remember,
that's a prime
spot
right in the middle of your forearm there.
He's on that psychotic grind, though. He's
true. He's, you know, the energy is pumping. Like, old mate, when he was stabbed in the neck, he still had enough energy to keep going and choke him out for a little while. So that does kind of justify it.
I guess you got to bring it into reality. Like, whenever we go out and we try and kill an innocent woman who can't hear or speak out in the woods, we're always on that adrenaline rush, you and I.
That's true.
Whenever we're going to murder someone out in the woods. So I guess it's the same thing applying it to the movie of how we do it.
Yeah,
it'd probably
exactly.
be the exact same.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done it in a while, so I can't really compare it.
Yeah.
But I'm 100% I'm on board with you there.
I hope there's people who don't understand that's sarcasm. they've turned off the podcast and before I've said sarcasm. And
they've called the police.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hit me with a point. You're bloody riding for 6 hours, mate. You should be carrying this podcast.
I was riding, but we did cover a lot of my things.
Oh
man.
Bloody hell.
Man, bloody.
Oh, fluffy cat. Hang on. The cat.
Oh, the cat was very cute. That was a very cute cat.
Don't know why it was called Bitch. I thought that was a joke, and then I was like, oh, it's called Bitch.
I didn't really find that funny at all. I thought that was just like, man, that's kind of mean. Your cat is beautiful.
Yeah, it
was nice. I would call that cat Cedric or something.
I'd call it goddamn sexy. Cut that.
Nah, that's staying in. That's fucking staying in. You dirty dog.
It's a cat.
Oh, it is a cat. Well, I think I'm done.
All right, well, we haven't talked about John and the biggest goat of the movie.
Yeah.
The absolute G.
Wow. Well, he was really looking out for people. He was trying to be the man.
Man, see, that's what I call, you wake up, and that's what I call a Sigma, right? He's on the 24/7 grind. When that's Sigma rule 69, all right? Oh, no, 72.
Oh, almost had a slip-up typo there.
Yeah. Sigma rule 72.
Yeah.
Get stabbed in the jugular. Doesn't matter. Still keep fighting.
Yeah.
Keep fighting.
That's until your last breath.
Dude, he was yelling out, run, run.
Well, I think that's actually quite accurate if if you have the right mental state, because he knew he was going to die. So he's like, nah, I'm fucking putting all of my energy into this. Till the last moment, let's go.
That's how I want to go out.
Yeah.
Stab me in the jugular and let's just fucking brawl.
Let's see how long you last.
Let's just brawl.
Yeah.
Like,
imagine that. That's like a cockfight when people bet on two chickens fight or two roosters fighting, but they just stab two guys in the jugular and go, fight.
Me and
everyone's betting.
Me and McGregor, let's go.
How long do you reckon you could last against McGregor?
No, mate.
With a stab jugular?
Fucking probably like at least 5 seconds.
Yeah. That's respectable.
I reckon I could take McGregor on.
I reckon you could take him without the stab in the neck.
Yeah, but he has to be stabbed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course.
That's the unwritten rule.
Yeah, that's the handicap.
McGregor's bleeding all over the place. I'll just fucking smash him.
Yeah.
Easy.
Mate, it's those curls. That they get them every time.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, mate. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. I think maybe we should have a little bit of a review moment.
A review or a trivia in a letterbox. We've still got bloody heaps to do.
Yeah?
Do you want to run the theme song?
The theme song?
Yeah, the theme song.
For which part?
Trivia.
Are we doing trivia before letterbox?
Oh, I thought that's what we do. We'll establish this because I guess we haven't really talked about this.
I think we did letterbox before trivia last time.
See, I thought we did... Because I thought we'd do trivia first.
Yeah.
And then my thinking is we do letterbox last. Because,
and then we have our scores after that.
Because you get the people's review and then you get our review.
I like it.
Oh, final thing I want to say.
Yeah.
A fun, entertaining horror movie that doesn't overstay its welcome. It uses all its resources at its single location and doesn't get stale for me.
Yeah, look, I'll give it to that. It doesn't go for too long.
And it's not boring.
No, it's not boring. It is an interesting watch for me personally most of the time.
And there's something different happening each time in a positive way, I would say.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
Logic, probably not, but fun-wise, I'd say this is fun.
I think the logic part is the main downing on my score.
This is definitely something that you'd... If you're at, like, you know, you have mates over or whatever.
You just watch it, you get drunk, and you just put this on and go, oh, look at them, they're so fucking stupid.
It's good as well, because there's no proper motive, and there's no excessive dialogue. So it is the perfect movie, horror-wise.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say perfect, but it's one of the best movies, I reckon, to chuck on just with some mates and just, like, laugh at it.
But if you really want to get, like, absolutely scared... I reckon put something a little bit more hardcore on.
Yeah, I reckon watch The Strangers.
The Strangers.
That's... We should watch that. Not soon, I'm too scared. trivia. Yeah, I already said the 15 minutes of dialogue.
I thought that was a bit of trivia.
Yeah. Director Mike Flanagan and star/co-writer Kate Siegel... So that's Maddie.
Yeah.
They're a married couple.
Oh, how sweet.
They conceived the storyline on a dinner date in 2014.
Wow.
And then they got married 2 years later.
That's pretty sick. I mean, going out to dinner and going, let's make a movie and then let's fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make a movie where I get shot in the leg, babe. And he's like, fuck, I would love to film that.
That's so hot. Let's do it right now.
But not with a bullet. Imagine it with a crossbow. And she's like, oh
crossbows.
I was filmed in 18 days.
Wow. Okay, mad respect for that. That's incredible. Holy shit, 18 days.
Yeah.
It looks a lot longer than 18 days for... Okay, wow, that's really... That's had an effect on me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Your nipples are sticking out and everything.
Good.
Kate Siegel, Maddie, but bracket, Maddie, bracket.
I did give that a Google.
Mike Flanagan, who's the director.
Yes.
Role played each scene in their house before writing it.
Oh, so that's really leading on to the last moment.
This enabled here's the bullshit. This enabled them to better envision how the characters would really interact.
Oh, sure. Bullshit.
Yeah. You got a violence kink. We all know it.
It was a bit of foreplay and then you just got a little bit naughty and under the sheets.
Mike, Kate, fuck off. We know what you're doing. You're fucking to the idea of Hush.
That's actually a good thing to fuck to.
This is their erotica.
Yeah. The fantasy.
Mm.
Okay, well...
Letterboxd reviews. Let's hear what the people out there think. We love the people. Let's get their thoughts. Joanna says, he looked hotter with the mask on. 3 stars. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you, Joanna. You know, you're pulling through, and that is quality.
And then we've got Sree. I reckon Sree.
Just Re.
All right. This isn't even funny. This is cool. I have a theory that she made all of this up to get out of finishing her book. 4 stars.
Oh, that'd be so dumb. I hate that. I hate all that, oh, I just woke up, it was all a dream, or, oh, this is from the dead, you know? Nah, that's dumb. Your review is stupid.
Sree.
Delete that right now.
Fucking Sree.
Don't ever review anything again. It's dumb.
Sree.
Sree.
Or is it Sree?
Sree, you're a silly sausage.
Yeah, you're fucking... Yeah. All right. Come on. Oh, who's first? You.
Nah, you.
I like this a lot, as you could tell. I'm giving this a 7 out of 10 nugs.
Oh, a little generous, but no, I respect that. I probably give it about 5 out of 10 nugs.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these three things.
Number one.
Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number two.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number three.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.